Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Everything is still in play. And it's still in play because they activated the reset of Hallis Hall.
I totally agree.
And Ben Johnson is here to fix all the problems.
When you hear it uttered, as in from the article, from the upcoming book, that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die. Like, from a distance, did you see that? And what do you think when you hear that?
I love it. I love the opportunity to come on in and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written.
Well, the things that are NFL stories are going on in Minneapolis. The owners' meetings, the tush-push, if you will, mentioned.
I would argue, and I'm going to be very interesting to see what happens with that, because word is that the league is ready to ban it.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush-push become an explosive play?
It'd become a first down or a touchdown.
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays, so I'm not a big tush-push guy myself.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Good morning.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I love that guy. I love this guy. Always good to hear from Ben Johnson.
Good morning, Mully.
Open the show.
We made it to Friday. It is the Friday before the unofficial beginning of summer. Memorial Day weekend.
It's Friday on Monday, or is it after Monday we can look at the standings?
I think it's what you're really asking is, when can you wear beige pants again or light colors again?
That's not what I'm asking.
White?
No.
Because that is, now it's okay. It's not a fashion faux pas. If you had white pants on this morning, you'd be like,
As a
look at the calendar.
As a fan of Great Men.
Oh yeah, see, I did not even realize. Mitch is ready, Twitch audience.
Look,
you can
stylish.
See.
A little premature.
Yes, no, that's okay. I like it. You see, he's in the spirit.
Mitch, wear them till Monday, and you're laughing.
How about underwear?
No, well, you better change those, especially if you work out. Mitch going to work out.
Yeah.
That's his morning routine, ladies and gentlemen. But hilarious. Yes, so that is what you mean. It's the beginning of summer, the unofficial start of the summer season.
No, what I mean is you can look at the standings.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
Baseball milepost.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought I stated it pretty clearly.
All right. Well, I think
it had nothing to do with Mitch's white pants.
Here's what you want to do. You can definitely look at the standings, but only if you are maybe north of Roosevelt.
Right? Yeah. Oh, exactly.
In Chicago.
Yeah, the Sox season is over. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's over. And it's not even Memorial Day yet.
I think we're talking about cross purposes, different purposes for the season. You want to ignore the standings. If you're a Sox fan, a major kind of pay attention to development. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Cubs, yeah, you're looking 30-20, bring on the Reds. And whoever else.
As long as you pat all the Sox fans on the top of the head, you want to concentrate on development. Here, go that's watch the development. That's the most demeaning.
That wasn't
comment.
Meant as condescending as it might have sounded.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But what else do the Sox fans have to look at?
You are so sweet. you, yes, I can. Oh, I got a Timmy Tom-Tom.
Thank you, little Chase.
I got a Timmy Tom-Tom.
Oh, nice little slide there, Chase. I love it when your uniform's dirty.
Oh, look at you.
Well, Chase Mydroth is a bright spot.
Rosy cheeks. You've got rosy, rosy cheeks.
But this is the...
You know, but he's a bright spot. I mean, listen. Like, don't look too close into the numbers and stuff. He's a bright spot. He's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, none of that is really sustainable. He's just a try-hard guy.
I think he's sustainable.
He's got no power.
I think he's
all.
A starter on a competitive team.
I think he's a contributor on a competitive team.
Okay. You don't think he's going to be a starter?
Let me ask you something. Yeah. You got a competitive team, right? You going to start him?
He is, yeah. I think he could. He
on the
could
north
be,
side.
Oh, the
you
Cubs?
You got a competitive team.
Well, he's,
are you going to start him?
I don't think that there's
make
room
a move,
for him. No.
Make a trade and bring him in.
I don't think he's a guy that
pat
you look
him on
at
the, head, though.
The Cubs. Ooh. Well lineup done. He could crack. He you're couldn't trying. Crack the Cubs lineup.
You are trying so hard. I love it when your uniform is dirty.
Come here, Jonathan Cannon. Give me a hug.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day. Just go, just like look at the standings and then throw your fists in the
okay,
air.
Okay, let me look at it another way.
Scream
we're
at the
a third.
Gods.
We're going to be a third of the way through the season after this weekend, mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the second... that? the remainder of the season, two-thirds left, do you find it easier to watch the White Sox this year? Do you feel a less of a sense of dread than you did a year ago this time?
I will let you know after I put on my ice cream uniform and then look at the standings. That will be Monday. No, I don't have a sense of dread. I understand what you're saying. They are inching ever forward. They're not the worst team in the league.
They're welcoming the Rangers this weekend.
Penultimate team.
They're going to be hosting the Texas Rangers and Bruce Bochy.
Friend of mine offered me a ticket, and? I unfortunately have other plans, but I would go in a heartbeat. If I were in town, I would be there.
You're leaving town.
I'm not going to be in town.
You're skipping town?
I'm going to the
10:02.
I'm going to the Riviera of the Midwest,
which is what?
Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
you doing some research on the Jeff Plaschel story?
Yeah, that's why I'm going. I will. You know what? I will talk to Red Wings fans.
Please do. Get the lowdown.
Anybody in a Red Wings hat will be asked about Jeff Plaschel. That's true. And to the point where my family will be like, "Oh my God, stop it." Because I see somebody, when I'm traveling, I see someone in a Sox hat, and I can't just let it go. I have to say, hey, you're awful brave. Look at you.
Well, depending on which Sox hat it is, if you're wearing the City Series Sox hats, you say you're brave because it is also a fashion risk.
Wow. No, I just think if you still wear your colors, God bless you.
Yeah, I think there's
despite everything the Sox have done.
Despite everything they haven't done. In the last several years.
More like what they've done to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
They beat you down.
Yeah. When you don't invest in a team, when you rolled the product out that they rolled out last year, it's a little bit better this year, I'll give you that.
Bruce Bochy, by the way, Texas Rangers manager, believed to be a guest on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow between 9 and 11.
Well, there you go.
Bruce Levine is a good friend of Bruce Bochy. So
that's a good get.
Yeah, we're planning to have him work on some other guests, talking about Cubs and Sox at the traditional mile marker that Memorial Day weekend represents.
Yeah, and the Cubs are having a really good season. They're 10 games over at the mile. Well, we don't know yet. They got three games.
Well, had you told Cubs fans that you were going to lose your first two pitchers for significant parts of the first third of the season.
And not have a closer,
yeah. And you're still going to be 10 games over 500?
And not have a closer.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, they don't really have somebody who fits that category. Ryan Pressly was brought here to do that job, hasn't done it sufficiently. So they're open for business, taking applications. Auditions are ready.
The inclusion of the word sufficiently is almost kind on your part. He was brought here to be the closer, hasn't done it sufficiently. Oh, he's done it. Just not good.
I'm suddenly afraid of offending because you had me on tilt now because of.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Condescending. I was just kind of. I don't want to offend any Sox fans.
I was making fun of where the two teams are. That's all. It's Memorial Day. You can look at the standings and as you say, the one team. Well, they're not as bad as they were a year ago. Or are they? I don't even know what the math says, to be honest with you. I don't know how far off the pace they are. But it seems like they got a better manager. It seems like they got a couple guys that can play. But it doesn't seem like they have
a
ton.
Well, by Labor Day weekend, do you think the Cubs can be 20 games over 500?
Oh, are you kidding? The Cubs will be more than that, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I think they've got, according to Tankathon, they've got the easiest schedule remaining. In all of baseball.
That sometimes can be very deceiving.
And sometimes it can be very accurate.
But I think that, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself if you're a Cub fan. You've got the Reds. The Rockies, I think, are ahead, and then the Reds again. I know that the Reds are in town next weekend.
Yep.
It's not any traditional anything except for the end of May.
Yeah.
Is there any mile marker or threshold that passes?
To me, you're...
What color can I wear to that game?
As far as I'm concerned, and this is me, you are in summer in June. So mm-hmm. I think that's the beginning of summer.
So get all of your white shorts out. Get all of your
creamsicle
shirts.
It's so unseasonably kind of miserable the last week
It has
it
been.
Just weather-wise? The weather hasn't cooperated.
I went for a lighter shirt this morning. It's a little more of one of these new, vibrant Flag and Anthem golf shirts.
I had one, and I've got to be honest with you, I had one very similar to that pulled out, but then I decided that it was like, I think
well,
it
there's
was
a
like,
chill in the air.
It was 40-something.
It's a little bit chilly.
And I decided, well,
it's a bit of a risk wearing this today, but I was in the
three-quarter pullover.
I was in the Memorial Day spirit. Then I felt like it was a good way to welcome summer. Wishful thinking on my part.
You look ready to
thank you.
Golf slash barbecue.
Well, if I were going golfing,
you would ruin your shirt if you were barbecuing.
If I did the barbecue, I would I would definitely spill and splash.
Right. Do you wear? Do you have like a nice, apron?
Bib?
Yeah.
No, do I have a bib?
An apron.
I don't really use a bib.
When you not a lot
big
of
bib guy.
Dustin, I'm sure you've got
not a bib guy.
I actually make sure that I put on a lesser
lesser shirt. Quality shirt.
I do not have an apron.
You don't have
an you
apron.
Go shirtless?
You look like the kind of guy that your family would buy an apron for because you barbecue so often.
And then I probably wouldn't wear it and then they get disappointed how that goes.
Too bad. Mm-mm.
I don't wear
you,
an apron.
I would think
I do like
you
the barbecue.
I would think, honestly, that you would have saved one of your old aprons from working in the butcher shop. You'd have this, like, blood soaked.
Now, you have to wear an apron if you're working a butcher shop.
When I was a butcher, I did wear an apron,
So did you do the real, like, did you?
I didn't kill any animals.
Chop the meat?
Oh, yeah. I can break down a half a side of cow. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow. Don't you know this? Have you ever read his copy? The man is a butcher. Hey.
Well, I wasn't even going there.
You did not listen to the pregame show.
There's no call for that.
I do listen to the pregame show. It's very smooth. I would think you were more
good morning, Chicago.
Chef than butcher. With the right accent at the right spot.
Oh, I love the idea that he was a butcher. I
very
think
very close to becoming like a real butcher, buying the business, actually.
Yeah. I think it's really important to know how to break down an animal as much as it is to prepare it.
Do not even pretend like you have broken down an animal before.
It
was this one time that we did a, we biopsy a frog. And
yes. No.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I am both a hunter and a collector. I know that would surprise you.
You're a collector of stamps and a hunter of sleep. You don't have any history of breaking down wild elk.
There aren't many men who grew up in Chicago who can hunt down the best submarine sandwich in the city in quite the fashion
you
I have done
what?
It.
And if there's a parking spot to be found, you will hunt it down.
I will. I can parallel park with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to have a car that I didn't care much about, and I could.
It's much easier to parallel park when that's the case.
Oh, I get under your bumper and move you four inches. If you had the
hope nobody
audacity,
saw that.
I wouldn't care.
So,
good luck getting your paint back, sir.
I am somewhat impressed when I know, like Dustin, I did not realize that you had such a history.
Yeah, butcher.
In behind the counter, if you will, or with a machete or a.
Oh yeah, no. And also a baker and a candlestick maker.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Dustin grew up in the 20s, apparently.
I'm not afraid to say I wouldn't know where to start if I were, okay, there's a deer.
Hmm.
Go to town.
I think you drain the blood.
Do you really?
Yeah, hang
how
that
would you know
up?
That?
How much
I grew up.
Deer Hunter, call.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Excellent movie. Yeah. Excellent movie. But not a label that I've ever worn or been accused of wearing.
I was in high school, and Father Daly told me I had to see the movie, and he said, I don't want to give anything away, but they shoot the deer at the end. And I was so angry. I'm like, don't tell me anything. I see the movie. The movie ends, and I'm like, they didn't shoot the deer. Like, it he ruined that Academy Award-winning movie for me.
And you were a kid, and you really...
I was a kid. I thought, left, like...
Yeah. You
I
never mean, forgot
like,
that, right?
I was never so
you
disappointed.
You never forgot that. I had a similar...
Deer Hunter.
I had a similar experience, different... Speaking of movies, you learn the hard way, or you learn never to give away the ending if you have a bad experience. As a kid, one of my friends was when Rocky II came out.
Yeah.
You're very excited. Rocky I was the best movie ever made. All my life comes up basically is explained in Rocky movies. But Rocky II, my friend said, oh my gosh, it was great. I said, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, it was so great. Rocky barely wins.
Oh.
And I'm like,
You son of a dog.
I will never forgive you. And I haven't.
My brother came running in one time. We were sitting watching a DePaul Notre Dame game. I mean, we were watching the whole game because they used to be on tape delay, believe it or not, back when I think there were three stations. I don't know what was going on. And he ran in the house. And we're literally like living and dying with this game. And he's like, oh, Notre Dame wins at the end.
Oh, no.
And we're like, Yo. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
There was violence
see,
at that moment.
That would have triggered you because that probably had – that scarred you, let me say that. Because there will be times when you will have taped things you don't want to know.
Yes.
And then you will be very, very diligent or vigilant about avoiding social media and not wanting to get text referring to anything.
It's mainly kind of English soccer games.
By the way, what happened to Man U this week?
What is that? No. Why don't you like just shoot popcorn at me? Make some buttered popcorn and then flick it at me.
I legitimately was wondering because
what do you think happened?
We have some really big soccer fans at CHSN, and a couple of the producers were talking about.
How
Tottenham.
Spurs won on Wednesday 1-0.
Okay.
Why do you think I've been in a horrible mood?
I'm sorry.
Since then. Well, how dare you ask that? You couldn't just Google it? You're sitting in front of a computer? Hey, I wonder if I'm going to trigger this guy. Who cares?
No, seriously, I wasn't trying to do that. Now, if I wanted to be, you know, somewhat, if I wanted to trigger you, I would have asked another White Sox question like, yeah. Why are they starting whoever this weekend? But no, I'm sorry.
Hauser.
I'm sorry.
They should sign Bauer just to see if anyone notices.
No, you know what? James Fox, our guy, our listener,
yes.
He just texted in and said that he believes that when Benintendi comes back, Tauchman comes back this weekend, Tim Elko's going down.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, James keeps very close.
He does. Future Sox, yeah.
Does a great job.
Great job with all the prospect watching. So if Tim Elko's going down, he's hit 3 home runs, but he's not hit for average. And
we should try to get James on because the draft is upcoming, and the Sox have the 10th pick after their
July 13th. The draft.
Losing. But I mean, now if you look around, all the draft stuff is starting to come out.
Starting to come out, yeah.
Is that right, Tim Elko going down? So they can't just DFA Vaughny?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Why not?
I mean,
honestly, I'd DFA Vaughny.
I don't think that they would lose much. Maybe they think that they could probably
trade
get something for him?
Bag of balls.
I'm not sure that they would get anything for him.
No.
Of value. Speaking of the draft, we did an interview. We should probably make a mental note before the draft. July 13th is the MLB draft. Brendan Summerhill is a local kid from Whitney Young.
That's right.
Grew up a Cub fan. He plays for the Arizona, and he's an outfielder. We interviewed him on Chicago League the other day. He's very, very accommodating, and he's an easy – it's a fun interview. And so as we get closer to the draft, he could be the first CPS product drafted in the first round since Corey Ray in 2016.
Is that right? Wow.
And only the second since 1998, I think.
Wow.
Or maybe further than that. Jeff Jackson was the last one before that. So anyway, as the MLB draft gets nearer, as we inch into summer this weekend.
There we go. Tying it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about United. We should break down some of the financial issues that are going on when you lose the amount of money. They would have backdoored into the Champions League, David. That's why you asked the question.
I'm really sorry I brought it up.
No, you brought it up.
So I did bring it up.
Now we're going to do a
I'm
segment
sorry.
On it.
I don't have any, and I deserve that.
I'll teach you.
I deserve that. I brought it up. And
what could be more horrible?
I was legitimately curious yesterday when it came up because one of the producers was talking about celebrating that because he was
he's not a Spurs fan.
Yeah, he's a Spurs fan.
And or I said, he's anybody but United fan.
Some people are like that, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, a lot of hate.
It's a thing.
There's a lot of hate out there.
Well, they were so good for so long. But they're making up for it.
630 Texan, thanks. I was planning on watching Rocky II this weekend. Now I know how it ends, jerk.
Outstanding.
Speaking of that, that was on AMC last night for some reason. With
Rocky
the lack
too?
Of sports, I just happened to go over there to AMC to see what was
really?
On. It was Rocky II. They did like a
I pity the fool that hasn't seen that movie or any of the Rocky movies.
The Rocky movie marathon?
Was that Rocky III?
Rocky III was, yeah. Yeah, the pity fool.
I pity the fool if you haven't seen those movies.
Prediction. Pain. Yeah, that was pretty. That was one of the better ones.
Ran into him one time, Mr. T.
Clubber Lang.
It was a
Clubber
very,
Lang was a local guy.
It's a very ugly story, but during the Bears, what could have been undefeated season, we went and watched the game against Miami at the downtown nightclub Faces. Okay, place Mulligan never belonged in, should never have been there. Pretty much cursed the Bears in the '85 season. And Mr. T came in, and the only takeaway I had, first of all, he's not nearly as big a dude as you
he's
think
pretty,
he is.
He's smallish in stature.
He might be smallish in stature. Tiny bird-like feet. I mean, it
come
was,
on.
Listen to me. It was like, oh, like what happened here?
You can't tell it me that Clubber Lang walks up to you.
Clubber Lang
and the thing that you notice are how small his feet are?
He walked in. And you couldn't miss it. It was like he had combat boots on.
Did he land on a branch?
Like the Ranimals combat boots. I'm telling you, he had like the most dainty, tiny, like little feet I've ever seen. Maybe it was just because I expected him to be significantly bigger.
Yeah, I think that's probably
it.
It
was stunning.
Yeah, I think you're exaggerating the size of his feet. He's there's nothing that dainty about him. He's not a very tall man. He's not a very tall man. But he does have tiny feet. Maybe that's why he's so was such a graceful boxer in the
Maybe
movies.
Maybe that's why he's such an angry dude.
Yeah, I could be.
I can't fit into a proper pair of shoes.
That could be. That could put a guy in a bad frame of mind for many years to come. Is he always in a bad mood in real life?
I don't know him. No, I don't know the man. I've never really interacted with him. I just saw him on that particular game, and the Bears ended up losing. And I thought, you know, I've lost my identity. I went to this nightclub downtown. Who am I?
And then you turned to Premier League soccer, and you decided to become a Man U fan.
I didn't make that decision. That was the decision. It was made for me.
Now we've got Mr. T texting in.
What
their
are they saying?
Experiences with Mr. T. What,
did he kick you?
No. They're at Sam's Club, and they got a photo with him when he was visiting Sam's Club, probably shopping for shoes.
Yeah, they were at Sam's Club.
Or slippers.
They lined up with him and just took a photo of his feet.
Wow. Was he a Chicago police officer?
Maybe they're swollen now. I don't believe. Was he a Chicago cop? I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, his brother. His brother was a Chicago
his
cop.
His brother, okay.
And taught at the academy when this texter 773 went through the academy. Interesting. Well, we sprayed off fields this morning.
Yeah,
we got a big weekend ahead.
Well, this is the problem.
What's the problem?
Man, you.
See, I've lost for this show. You're not going to be worth a darn.
You have no idea.
This is a tease.
We've
got two Blackhawks questions.
Oh, I know. How about that? That's pretty good. I thought they were pretty fair and good questions, too.
They're very good, very fair, and also appropriate because there was no baseball on Thursday. Hawks made a move.
They did.
They announced.
Jeff Blashill.
Here's what's smart about that. They announced the hiring, and they scheduled the press conference after the holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and it will be Tuesday, and I'm going to wear white pants.
Well, you can do it. First of all, you can pull it off. Not many men can.
We'll wear white pants.
White pants thing.
And a light blazer. And I'll say, Jeff Blashill, welcome to Chicago. How
right,
about
Don
that?
Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Don Johnson. You know, I used Muscle to, I did, at one point in time during the Miami Vice heyday,
you did
I
a had a,
I did not have a lot of cocaine. But I did have a
Miami Vice.
I did have a peach colored blazer, one of those pastel blazers.
No,
yes, I did. I did.
We had our like eighth grade dinner dance in that era, and we wore like pastel. I think I wore yellow pants. Yes.
That's unfortunate.
And like a blue, like a powder blue shirt with like a white sport coat.
I'd love a picture of that. Yeah. If you could get that from your mom.
Was that like a leisure suit? What the hell are you telling us?
We all, Miami Vice was so cool. Wanted to be those guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Crockett,
I think we wore espadrilles too, those rope shoes.
Those were the days. Google them.
All right. We've got the pick six next. We're going to get into all the sports stories of the day domestically. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
All right, guys, how exciting is it that Wrigley will host the 2027 MLB All-Star Game? According to our baseball insider, Bruce Levine, it's been since 1990. That's a big gap. Why? And what's the best part?
Well, the best part is they got a bunch of All-Stars, I think. That's the good news. I just wonder, is that the return of Kyle Tucker, or will he be on the team for that?
Just
curious.
That's in a couple of years. What will his career bring?
Right.
And would he get booed or cheered? And would he be coming back a champion or a chump?
Oh, boy. Holy cow. Yeah, I didn't see the champion or chump part of it coming.
You brought it up.
I did bring it up. You know, it's a really good question because they've been trying to get it. You know, 1990, that is a huge gap. I don't quite understand why it's been that long. Normally, if you're trying to get it, you get it, right? And that's a long gap. Does anyone have insight as to 35
safety.
Years?
Safety.
Is it safety concerns?
Yes.
Anything else?
And the stadium wasn't up
maybe to, over the last 10 years.
Stadium wasn't up to par.
Okay. Stadium
visiting,
falling
visiting
apart.
Clubhouse. You know, Ozzy, we talked to Ozzy about
that's
a week
true.
Ago. Gosh, okay. That was only a week ago.
They needed all the upgrades.
Yep. The visiting clubhouse was not even close to being ready for All-Star Game type festivities.
Man. Well, I think the best part is that they're ready for it. The building's looking good. They're throwing 30. Is that what Bruce said? There'd be 30 million in security added. And, you know, honestly, I think the fact that they will have representatives in that game is probably the most encouraging part of it.
Will PCA be involved in the Home Run Derby? Right. That would be interesting because do you know who the three All-Stars were in 90? Cubs had three All-Stars.
Sandberg.
Correct.
Dawson.
Correct.
Lee Smith?
No. I went Rick Sutcliffe when originally asked last night on the Fly the W podcast. Sean Dunstan was the third Cubs representative. Ryne Sandberg won the Home Run Derby that year. Guess how many home runs he hit?
Seven.
17.
That's a really good guess, Mully. Three. The wind was blowing in. And this is like Fielder, Canseco. Like, right. These are, like, some of the all-timers. I think that group, like, a bunch of guys were blanked. I think Mark McGwire hit one. Canseco didn't hit one. Cecil Fielder didn't hit one. The wind pivoted, was blowing straight in. I'm sure Bruce was there. It's pretty exciting. It's always exciting when the stars come to your town. You can show off a little bit.
You can't mess with nature. Because if you do mess with nature, that's part of nature, too.
Okay. So it's about security. That's the big gap. And the best part will probably be the Home Run Derby. And I predict that PCA will be part of that contest.
What's happened is lately, now it's become, this has gone on for many years through several different mayors, from Rahm Emanuel to Lori Lightfoot to now Mayor Brandon Johnson. And on Thursday, I believe there was an Alderman Bennett Lawson who introduced to the city council an ordinance that would initiate the anti-terrorism rated removal bollards. So there's a lot going on in terms of how to protect or how to get Wrigley Field ready to host such an event. And it's because of the lack of security or the negotiations between what you would need to do to basically shut down the neighborhood because of all of the close proximity to the bars and the restaurants. So it's been a hassle. It's taken a long time. It's gotten political. But this looks like the things have been cleared now that they can host the All-Star Game. Bruce has been on this for a while. I know we talked to Crane Kenny at the Cub Convention back in January, and this was the goal and expectation. Bruce has had this for a couple of years now. We'll look forward to talking to him about just the evolution of the story itself. But this is good news, and I do think it's fun to consider how many Cubs will be, how many White Sox could be. 2027, so this is what could Noah Schultz be starting for the American League? You look at who else is going to, is Braden Montgomery going to be a starting outfielder for the American League? You don't know because it's a couple years away.
George Wokola.
George Wokola. That would be great. You know, local kid starring at Wrigley Field.
He'll win the home run contest.
He could, definitely. It's fun to consider. It's about time. And you know what the real benefit of it is? Maybe this means they will renovate the press box.
Picked off at a pick
Man
six.
Can dream.
As we approach Memorial Day weekend, a traditional baseball season mile marker, would you like to adjust your preseason Cubs prediction or projection? And what or who has been biggest surprise or the biggest disappointment?
Well, I think that I don't want to adjust my prediction because I don't want to come off as being like, oh, they're headed the big places now.
You had them at 103, right?
No, I didn't. I had him at 89. Sometimes it may sound like I had him at 103. I deserve that. I think I had him at 89, and I'm not want to get over my skis. I'm going to be very level-headed in this, and I think that makes it seem right. I am a little surprised that losing the two pitchers are still 10 games over 500. PCA, to me, has been the biggest surprise, only that how good he has been, how great he has been. And so I could easily say the catchers and that combined performance, but I don't know that that is as sustainable as what I think PCA is capable of accomplishing this season. The disappointment, well, besides the injuries to starting pitching, I have to say I had high expectations for Matt Shaw, and the last three games have been what I expected all season long, but him getting out of the gate slowly, going back to Iowa, was somewhat of a disappointment. But the Cubs are headed in the right direction as we hit the mile marker at Memorial Day weekend.
I feel good that they'll win the division. I feel good about that. I feel good that they're going to win 90 games because they put the toughest part, at least on paper, of their schedule in the rearview mirror and did a lot of that without their number one pitcher and their number two pitcher. Hopefully the number one or two, whichever way you look at it, however you slot Shota Imanaga, he will be back at least probably mid-June, maybe two more weeks, 3 weeks, we'll see him back with the Cubs. So, you know, the biggest surprise, Colin Ray, 3-0.
That's a good one.
You know, striking people out. And that's like a – and that one's a tip of the cap probably to Craig Counsell, who probably had to – wouldn't say talk Jed and Carter into doing it, but definitely probably, you know, went on the top rope and said, this is a guy I'd like you to bring in, and he's versatile. Like, if he, you know, if Ben Brown doesn't get moved to the bullpen, you know, Colin Ray has said, like, I came in here being open to the idea of being a starter if needed and being a bullpen guy if needed. And that's the kind of guy you want around, somebody who's versatile and is willing to do that. The back end of the bullpen is the biggest disappointment for the Cubs. There's no doubt about that. But I still, you know, they're going to win 90 games ish, and they'll win the division. If not, it'll be a disaster.
You know, I honest to God, I think that I think 90 or bust was kind of the way I looked at this season, because they need to win 90 games to ensure they make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think Jed Hoyer's in trouble. So I just figured 90 or bust. To me, the biggest surprise has been the play of the catcher position. I don't want to just limit it to Amaya. I thought he was one of the guys that was sort of, yeah, you know, is he going to take a step? What do you make of him? But between him, between the two catchers, that has been one of the real strengths of this team. And that, I would say, is a surprise to me. I thought that You know, I thought that PCA was going to have a big year. I really did. I thought he played really well. And, you know, I thought he was like a real energy guy, would feed off the crowd kind of thing. So that doesn't stun me. He's a little better than I thought he'd be. I knew Kyle Tucker was going to have a great year because he always does. And he's going into a contract year. So I'm not really surprised by a ton. I would say I'm surprised that they haven't solidified the closer. I'm surprised that they've done as well as they have throughout the pitching staff, despite losing the two guys. And really, the catcher position was the one I didn't see coming.
This time he pays the price. Deron Bland, pick six.
Prediction time. The White Sox host the Rangers this weekend, and their season seems to be lost before Memorial Day. With Sox, will the Sox win a game in this series? Are you predicting a sweep for the Rangers?
Wow, that's just, we know who wrote that one.
I did not write that one.
Oh, don't start.
I did not.
Dustin.
Did he write it? I do not write any questions for the pick six.
Out him.
It was me. I did it.
All right.
Yeah.
Sean Sears answers the chat.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I would say that now that the White Sox are getting some players back, I still think they'll get swept.
Wow. And I'm the tisk guy.
Okay, just that was quick. I mean, was the season over before it even started? I mean, over from the standpoint of were they going to compete for the division? No, but I think, you know, we joked around a little bit, but I think they're better. There's better thinking. They're more professional this year over at 35th and Shields. There seems to be a plan. Now, it's going to take a while. There's not a whole lot of talent. I don't know about the Tim Elko getting demoted. I roster construction, I get it. Like, you know, you're paying Andrew Benintendi all that money. If he's ready, you got to bring him back up. He's not going to hang out in the minor leagues, right? The Palatine Pounder's not going to hang out in the minor leagues if he's coming back this weekend as well. I think the Sox will, they'll win a game this weekend.
Yeah, I think,
right?
So
I don't think they get swept. It's hard to get swept at home. I'm looking at the pitching matchups.
Shane Smith's not going. They'll win the Cannon.
The Cannon's going Saturday.
I think they'll win
maybe
the Cannon.
And you know, from a betting standpoint,
good fodder, though.
From a
fodder.
Betting standpoint, I mean, the Rangers are only minus 185, which for a Sox game, you know, they've been as high as minus 470 against them. I mean, so minus 185, there's a little bit of faith in the Sox.
So what's the purpose of this season? That's what you have to ask yourself, I think, every weekend, every series. The purpose is development, right? It's to develop players. What is it?
I don't know that there is a purpose this season. I think it's to wait until other players arrive.
Perhaps.
Are they developed? Vargas, I suppose.
There are players that are here. Vargas, Mydroth, maybe some of the bullpen pitcher, Jonathan Cannon, developing. You have to have a purpose to a season. It certainly isn't to win 70 games or to compete for a wild card spot. My point being that if the purpose of the season is in part development, I don't know why they're sending Tim Elko down after 31 at bats. He's got three home runs and 31 at bats, and yes, he's hit 162, but it's not really consistent with what their mission should be.
How many homers does Vaughn have? Just out of curiosity.
I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out.
How many at bats? I'm just saying.
Tim Elko's homering once every 11 at bats.
But Tim Elko might run into one.
Yes.
And that's a run.
That's my point.
Yes.
Is that regardless of how you want to label it or if you're offended by the fact that this season is about development, you have a prospect in a guy in Tim Elko that I don't get how this, just because you're bringing back Benintendi, you're bringing back Mike Tauchman, there are enough at bats for guys who might be here for a little while. And I don't know if Tim Elko, he has been maybe overmatched at times, but doesn't really matter. Give him some time.
The purpose can't be to develop Benintendi, Mike Tauchman, and Andrew Vaughn.
No. So that's agreeing with me here.
Yeah,
when you place development and you make it a priority, you shouldn't be making decisions like sending Tim Elko back to the minors to get at bats that really don't help him adjust to Major League pitching in the way that he needs to adjust to Major League pitching. I think they win Saturday.
Pick six.
What is your reaction to Jeff Blashill being hired as the new Blackhawks coach, replacing interim Andre Sorensen, who was hired to replace Luke Richardson? All coaches are hired to be fired, but that seems especially true in the modern NHL, where guys are being turned over quite regularly. Would it be cruel to ask if you believe Blashill is a point A to B guy or a long-term fix? Would you be more excited if it had been David
Carl? David Carl would have excited the fan base and certainly was plan A for the Blackhawks, and they can't get around that. And I don't know if they will choose to deny that Tuesday when they address these questions and introduce Jeff Blashill. It's not Jeff Blashill's fault that David Carl was the object of a lot of teams and the target for a lot of teams in this offseason coaching cycle. Jeff Blashill is a professional NHL head coach. He has experience with the Red Wings. It wasn't all a great experience, but he did have experience behind the glass developing players like Dylan Larkin, being in charge of guys. They weren't very good necessarily when he was there. He did get to the playoffs his first season. He was Mike Babcock's replacement. That stain, I think, has worn off because you have to evolve as an NHL head coach, and you can't be as much of a dictatorial force as Babcock was. I think Jeff Blashill will be more like John Cooper, who he has worked for the last couple seasons in Tampa as an assistant coach, than he will be Mike Babcock. I think this will be a move that would be hard to galvanize the fan base that needs galvanized, but I do think that they could have done worse. That's not a rousing endorsement, but I do think I want to keep an open mind and give him a chance.
They could have done worse. Wow. I'll go with the fact that he's been around John Cooper for a little bit, and maybe he's got a little bit of that Tampa Lightning John Cooper stink on him, right? I mean, nobody likes the Red Wings if you're a Blackhawks fan, so that you don't want any of those kind of connections. And he was part of that rebuild up there, and it didn't go very well. He was 204, 261, and 72. I mean, I don't think this makes anybody sign up for Blackhawks season tickets. That's for sure. The guy from Denver, and the guy from Denver worked with some younger players, had some international, Team USA connections as well. But he decided to stay in college. So it wasn't like the Blackhawks lost out on him and he decided to go to another organization. But let's hear what Blashill has to say. Let's give him a few minutes. And more importantly, let's hear how the general manager, who I think, is pretty good at telling us the plan. And on Tuesday, let's keep an open mind. Let's hear what he says, and let's ride it out. We were lucky enough to have one of these guys in studio.
Luke Richardson.
He was fantastic. He was really good. But he didn't have a lot to work with. Where did he land?
Anywhere? Luke Richardson, I have not seen where he's landed yet. He's not as a head coach.
Jeff Blashill is 51 years old. He's a grown man. I read a story in The Athletic a few days ago about him. They talked to the writer that covered him in Detroit, and the guy said that one of the problems he had was that he kind of acquiesced to some of the veteran guys. Well, there's no danger of worrying about that here. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a lot of aged veterans that are going to have much say in what they're doing. In fact, the youth movement, I mean, goodness gracious, they have been drafting eight guys in the first round, five guys in the second round, eight guys in the third round. They got the number three pick in the draft this year. These players are going to be coming fast and furious. So you got a grown man who, and listen, with all due respect to his time in Detroit, and I know the great Elliot Friedman has taught us that second time around, coaches are better. Your second job, you are better than you are as your first one, especially in the NHL. So that's good news. But Dustin's on it. It's the proximity to John Cooper that is the allure here. It's the fact that he was working for one of the best coaches in the league. John Cooper, by the way, came up from the AHL. He had already won a lot of stuff, just not
great
at this
story.
Level. And then he won everything here.
Former lawyer.
So he's like a an exception to the rule. But
yeah.
if this guy is good enough for him, then he's good enough for the fine folks in Chicago.
By the way, Luke Richardson linked to the vacant Bruins job. The first time his name has surfaced in many months.
A crushing pick six.
The Blackhawks have made 8 selections in the first round of the draft over the previous 3 seasons, along with 5 in the second round and another 8 in the third. More youngsters on the way this year, including their 3rd overall pick. What makes you believe Jeff Blashill is the man to lead them? Most importantly, is he the man to get the best out of Connor Bedard?
Well, that is the number one question. That is it, right there. That's all he's really got to do is figure out how to get the most out of Bedard. And we're going to talk to Frank Saravelli a little bit later. Love talking to him. He told us one of the keys with Bedard's development is getting him to get a little more selfish. Hey, take more shots. You got like one of the best shots in the league. Take advantage of that. Score more goals. Don't worry about setting people up. I think Connor Bedard's a good kid, and I think that he wants to play a team game. No. Take over a little bit. So hopefully we get some of that. You know, the Blackhawks have a very fast team, as we heard Bedard tell us. And they're presumably going to just keep getting faster as they bring up these young guys. They don't got a lot of, there's not a lof beef on the bones of all these young players. So, you know, it's going to be really important to develop these guys physically and work them hard. And, you know, by all accounts, a guy like Jeff Blashill is not going to ignore the defensive end to get more scoring. He's going to be demanding, and that's good. So I think this might be a sneaky good hire, especially if he can do some things with Bedard. That's the whole job in a nutshell.
It's all about Connor Bedard. Anytime you're talking about the Blackhawks, it's about Connor Bedard. And this gives the general manager, he's in, you know, trusting Jeff Blashill to make his picks, you know, produce at the NHL level.
Yeah,
I think that's also what the second, you know, if number one, and I think it's number one without a doubt, is Connor Bedard. How does Blashill get Connor Bedard and these other draft picks by the general manager to mesh and lead the Blackhawks, you know, at least forward?
Okay, everything is about Bedard. So here's your Blackhawk offseason summer checklist. And summer begins Monday, by the way, as we discussed. So they have to essentially introduce Jeff Blashill on Tuesday. He needs to make a good, strong first impression. Then the NHL draft comes around. Draft Michael Mesa with the 3rd overall pick. A guy who can a forward who can help Connor Bedard be the player that he is, whether he's setting him up and letting him take all the shots, because he can take all the shots. You draft somebody who's an impact player at number 3. Then, as July 1st creeps up, that is the first day that Connor Bedard can sign a contract extension in Chicago. Otherwise, he's facing the final year before he's a restricted free agent. That can't happen. That cannot happen. Connor Bedard said he loves it here. His last exit interview said he wants to stay here, and the Hawks have to let him prove that by making him an offer that he cannot refuse. So July 1st, he can sign a contract extension for the first time, make it happen. Then whatever money you have remaining, and you should have a lot of money remaining because the Hawks haven't spent any money really. They have modest free agents, but they have a lot left. Go after Mitch Marner. He is an unrestricted free agent in Toronto. The Leafs just fell apart again, on brand, on schedule. They aren't going to do anything in Toronto with that core. Break it up, Leafs. Mitch Marner, come to Chicago, be the compliment to Bedard. That is your perfect offseason to give Jeff Blashill a chance to get the most out of Connor Bedard. Kyle Davidson can make it all happen.
And that was very close to being a pick 6 the other direction.
That's the voice of Ross Tucker. He's going to talk tush push with us at 7:25 amongst other NFL topics. The college football playoff will move to a straight seeding model next season, rewarding the selection committee's top 4 teams with the top 4 seeds and the first round bye. Is this progress or a system better left alone? Who benefits potentially and who does it hurt?
Answer the first part first, because it is progress. And it won't leave us with the silly situation last year where we had teams getting a bye that did not deserve it. Talking to you, Boise State, SMU, didn't they get byes?
I you look at the way that things were seeded because of the way the guys snuck into the playoff. And so this is definitely a reward for seasons that are better than others. Now, are we going to call this the Notre Dame rule or not, Dustin? Because let's face it, this is who benefits the most potentially. Notre Dame, if they're fourth, they'll get the fourth seed. They won't be forced to play a game unlike other teams who win a conference championship. So this is the Notre Dame rule. This is the Notre Dame, as Dustin ponders this.
I'm not quite so sure.
Okay, he's not so sure about that. But you know what? If Notre Dame, they're going to make a rule for Notre Dame, I would like them to have a quarterback situation that was a little more stable. If they're going to be back in the playoff, how are they going to get there? Tell me that, because I don't know about their quarterback situation. This is the first time they've had a unsettled quarterback situation in some time, and now they've got they greased the skids. This is for them. This is for Notre Dame.
I think they want Notre Dame to host a home game, which is exactly what they would have done either way. If you look around in the many different websites, the team that it would have helped out last year the most would have been Oregon. That's who it would have helped out the most, because they would have had the bye, and then they would have had a lower seeded team. Boise would have played Indiana. So instead of getting a SEC team maybe right off the bat, you would not have gotten that. I think it helps the power conferences. That's who it helps, because instead of having two teams in the top four, you potentially could have three or two or even four teams in the top four. So Boise's not going to automatically get the top four, or the Big 12 is not going to automatically get the top four by winning the conference championship game, which this is what I find interesting, is what does that conference championship game mean now? It almost squat. It almost means absolutely nothing.
It can almost do more damage.
Right. So, I mean, that's what's going to, will the sponsorship remain the same and things like that? So if it was reseeded, your top four under this parameter would have been Oregon number one, Georgia number two, Texas number three, and Penn State number four. So ASU and Boise, would not have had those byes.
But Notre Dame does not have to necessarily worry about being on the outside looking in.
Right,
if they take
care of their business like they should. But I think in the big picture, I think Notre Dame probably wants that home game. And I think TV wants Notre Dame to play that home game in the opening weekend of this, if you will. But again, it's progress. It's something. It helps Oregon, who I think got a raw deal last year. Sorry, Maya.
No, you're totally correct. I'm just going to quickly say that I thought the college football playoff was a resounding success. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so good. It made the season that much better. It was fantastic. But we all knew what the problems were, and this is addressing that. Whether it's, again, the big conference teams are always going to, they've taken over college football. We all know that. But if they get seeded better or whatever, I don't care. I loved what happened last year. It was one of the most exciting years in college football in a very long time. And it's great that they're addressing it and trying to get it better still. So God bless them. I'm all for it. We all knew, hey, this is fantastic, but it's got to be better. Maybe this makes it better. If it doesn't, don't you feel like they'll address that too? I think they're doing a really good job with college football. It's in a very healthy place, given how dominant the conferences have become and kind of taken over the whole thing. It's still riveting stuff, and the season was so much better than in previous years. You couldn't help but feel a little bit of satisfaction that they made this great change to expand the playoffs. Just great stuff. Really, really appreciate it, and looking forward to next year. All right, we got the extra point next. Mully and Hall on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
How many games will the Cubs win against the Reds over the next 3 days? How many games will the White Sox win against the Rangers? And what's the most compelling thing to pay attention to in Chicago baseball this weekend?
It's going to be a fun weekend because it is the traditional mile marker for the baseball season. Memorial Day weekend has arrived. White Sox, we said that already. I think one game out of three for the Sox. It'll be tomorrow. For the Cubs, a couple different answers. For me, the thing I'm paying attention to the most, maybe the most compelling or the most unknown, I want to see Matt Shaw continue to progress. He had a really good series in Florida. He's a big part of this team, or I should say that question is a big one to answer for the Cubs. If they can address the third base dilemma by having Matt Shaw be the player they thought he was coming out of spring training, that's huge. And that progress continues, hopefully, this weekend in Cincinnati. As far as in the matchup, though, tonight, if you have time on your hands and you're looking for something to do on a Friday night and just kind of sit back and listen to the dulcet sounds and tones of Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach, this is the one to watch. Hunter Greene and Matthew Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
Hunter Greene coming off an injury, coming off the IL, I believe, and he is one of the most interesting electric pitchers in baseball. Matthew Boyd, one of the most consistent. Nice contrast. Cubs are going to have a challenge tonight. They can still remember this. Remember this. We'll remind you on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning. They can lose tonight and still win the series. They might lose tonight and still win the series.
I predicted that they will lose tonight. They'll win 2 out of 3 on the latest Fly the W podcast. I'll watch this game. I'll listen to this game. Probably be at the old Spring Inn. But Cubs will take 2 out of 3. I would love them to put a little distance, right? I mean, this is strength versus strength. So the Reds are a very good starting pitching type of team that can't hit a lick. I think they've either equaled or even have had more shutout losses than the White Sox have had so far this season. The Cubs obviously have been doing a heck of a job hitting the ball. Their slug is fantastic. Their stats with runners in scoring position is fantastic. So something is going to have to give in this series. That's going to be the difference. But I think the Cubs can take 2 out of 3. And again, I don't think the White Sox got swept. But I think the biggest thing that, from a Cubs perspective, that I'm going to keep an eye on, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Mully, you know, the idea that Ian Happ is back in the lineup, but he started 1 for 10
right.
in his return. So will he get a quote-unquote day off and DH one day? He's fantastic in Cincinnati.
Right.
Like, if you're doing, like, beat the streak or you want to bet a guy to have, like, 2-plus bases, probably get some good odds tonight because he hasn't been hitting well. You know, Ian Happ in Cincinnati, I don't know what it is, Skyline Chili, I don't know what it is, but he does really well.
He went
at that
to school
ballpark.
There, right?
I understand that, right? That's probably the connection,
home.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's been outstanding there.
Yeah, no, he's been great there, and I hope for that reason that he finds himself, that he, you know, enjoys the day off and then comes back ready to roll and is really good. I think they could get a sweep. This is not a team that is playing well. I agree with you. Hunter Greene is not an easy guy to deal with, and this would be the game they could lose. But if they manage to win this game, then fast forward to Sunday, because that would be the one that would give me a little bit
get
of
concern. Get out the brooms?
Well, I think it's going to happen.
If
do.
If you beat Hunter Greene, could you get out the brooms?
I think you can get those brooms going, buddy. Okay. I think you ought to get out your broom. Hmm. I think you got to do some spring cleaning this weekend because summer's coming. But, I do feel pretty good about the Cubs. I think they'll win 2 of 3, and I'm calling for the sweep. Go get it done. As far as the White Sox are concerned, Sean Burke tonight hasn't been doing great. I like Cannon over Jack Leiter if they're going to win a game on Saturday. Davis Martin against Patrick Corbin? That's a big ask. I think it's a big ask this weekend. I think they might get some good starting performances, but it's not going to matter because their bullpen's pretty bad. And, you know, when guys are coming back, maybe this is the series the guys coming back need. And I don't like that Tim Elko is gone. I mean, I just think he might run into one. They need.
I don't like that
hitting.
At all.
They need runs, and they need guys that can hit homers.
Tauchman and Benintendi coming back doesn't really excite you too much, but it helps.
Well, it'll help, but I mean, what I'm saying is, does it take this series for them to get worked up to a point where they contribute? I don't know.
312-644-6767. Back with your call, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mullin and Haw.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
On 670 The Score.
Swinging a fly ball to right field and deep. Back goes Sanchez. Back near the fence. That's over his head and bouncing into the stands. Ground rule double. The go-ahead run is in. Welcome back to Matt Shaw. He gets a long double to the opposite alley in right center. Ground rule double. Cubs have the lead 7-6, and they've grabbed that momentum right back.
What's different about Matt Shaw in the plate?
Definitely more upright. Feet are a little bit closer, a little bit more fluid, a little bit more comfortable. Leg kick's obviously going to be smaller, and hopefully just staying on top of more pitches and hitting balls harder early in the count.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Matt Shaw talking to Zach. And
it's the right question, Zach.
Yeah. What is different?
Asked and answered.
I think we know. I think, can't you see it? Don't you
see
it?
I love that he's put it that way. I love the way he asked that question. What's different about Matt Shaw? To Matt Shaw, right? Yeah. Right in front of him. That was well done. And I think you do see a difference. You picked it out. And when you described it to we were talking the other day to somebody about Matt Shaw. Oh, Jed Hoyer. And he explained it in fuller detail, but there is something different.
Well, yeah.
It's a small tweak.
The leg kick.
Big difference.
His knee was over his waist.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as pronounced. He's still doing a leg kick.
He is still doing a leg kick, and he'll probably have a hard time outgrowing that. Here's what's nice about this, though. We're talking about a Matt Shaw highlight from Pat Hughes that helped the Cubs win a game. A week ago at this time, we were having Iowa Cubs highlights of Matt Shaw after he hit two home runs. He's come a long way in a week, and the Cubs need him to continue to progress.
Well, you know what's funny? And I don't even know if it's funny, but Matt Shaw comes up. He's hit at every level. Everything's going to be fine. And then he comes up, and there he is, and he's going to, and you're looking at that swing, and you're like, whoa, did they know this is going on? Like, there were just so many moving parts and so many things involved in the swing. And you had to ask yourself, and we had this conversation, like, how do you fix something as complicated as that? Like, oh, you should move your left big toe a little bit more to the right. Like, how in the name of God could you look at that and figure out, well, you know what he's doing right?
It's like getting in the elevator with somebody and you say good morning to them. And by the time you get up to the 10th floor, you've not said anything else because you said, how's it going? And they haven't stopped talking about everything that's gone wrong with them because it's just like, it keeps saying, oh, wow. There's a lot there. And with Matt Shaw, you watch him swing the first time, it's like, oh, wow. There's a lot there.
People mistake your insincerity. Like when you say, hey, how's it going? You just, oh, good. How about you? You don't want them to actually answer you.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I do.
Is this a confession?
No, it's not a confession. I think sometimes I sound really more interested probably than I may typically appear.
If you see me on the elevator, just don't make eye contact.
No, because you're reading the computer with all the facts. You're reading the screen.
I'm reading over here.
Everything you learn in a day is really condensed to what you saw in the elevator.
I can't tell you how many times, like, I'll read like 5 words and I'm like, damn, I got to go back up a little more. I got to read the end of that.
You press every button at every floor so it stops.
Yeah, because I got to keep
reading. You want to maximize your elevator
time.
That's
where I get all my information.
I know that.
How do you know that? I read in the elevator.
Because it takes you forever to get to the 10th floor. And you go to the 10th just so you go back to the 9th.
That's right. I walk down. I run out, try to get you an orange juice, and then walk down. We got the stairs. All right. 312-644-6767. We'll get to your calls next. Mullin Haw on the Score.